You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. Britt, it seems like the biggest ongoing news with the Orioles is two guys who are already on the roster. We keep asking the question, but you got a little more info on Matt Wieters and Manny Machado this weekend. What's your understanding as to how those guys are progressing as spring training gets close?
Well, Manny Machado is going to be a full go pretty much from day one of spring training. He said over the weekend he's done everything. That includes running laterally, moving side to side, fielding ground balls, hitting, running the bases, all of that stuff. So he seemed fairly confident that he would be a regular player, as did manager Buck Showalter, from day one. Now, Matt Wieters is a more interesting case, coming off of Tommy John surgery. Right now, he's building that arm back up to throw on flat ground, but I would imagine early on in camp, he won't be catching a lot of games. They'll find other ways for him to get work. He could catch bullpens, obviously not be able to limit kind of that throwing back to the pitcher, but he can use that extra time. He can bat. He doesn't have any issue hitting from either side of the plate, but I do think they're going to slow play him with the hope that he would be ready on opening day. Right now, if everything goes according to plan, he would be ready. It would put him in line to start the opener against Tampa Bay. But a lot can go on between then and now. They're trying to stay out in front of it. So far, he's hit every test that they've given him. He seemed fairly optimistic as well.
It's been a little while, but since the last time we talked, it looks like maybe the Orioles finally got their corner bat. How do they view Travis Snyder? Is he an everyday kind of hard to line up kind of bat, or is he a complimentary piece? What do they think they've gotten in him?
Well, I think right now they've got a lot of guys who they're not sure how it's going to play out. When you look at that corner outfield spot, you've got Diaza, you've got Delmon Young, you've got David Lowe, you've got Travis Snyder, you've got Steve Pierce. You've certainly got a bunch of guys, and don't forget Gariel Alvarez is a guy that they like a lot in the minors, who they don't think is very far off. So I don't think that they have certain roles for those guys yet. I think a lot of it's going to come down to camp, how these guys look. You're going to see a lot of matchups, a lot of platooning by manager Buck Showalter to see where they fit in. But they liked the fact that Snyder is under team control for another year beyond this one. They liked the power bat. They like how he fit in and projects to fit in at Camden Yards. So they were very happy to get a guy like him. Defense is good. They're a very strong defensive club, and they didn't want to have a liability out there in the outfield. So I'm not sure where exactly he fits in, if he's that everyday guy just yet, but he's a guy who really seems to have put it together in the second half of last season. They feel like he might be poised for a breakout year.
Are they still looking for another corner bat, or does he sort of fit what they were trying to accomplish in that regard?
I think he fits what they're trying to accomplish. I think right now they probably need another utility player in the infield, and another reliever or two to go to camp just to foster some more competition. So, you know, they never really replaced Andrew Miller, and there's really no place on the open market where you could say, oh, this would be another Andrew Miller. Obviously, he was exceptional, but I think they want a little bit more depth in that relief category heading into spring training. And again, like I mentioned, I think they want another infielder, a guy who can kind of play two or three positions.
Do you think, and it doesn't seem to be a fit, but you kind of have to ask at this point, as a guy's price comes down, you wonder if more and more people get him play. Do you think that there's any potential fit on a James Shields addition for the Orioles, as it seems maybe he's getting close to landing somewhere?
Now, I got asked about this morning on the radio, too. And, oh, you know, it's funny. It seems like, yeah, the longer he hangs around, the more it becomes a possibility for the Orioles. I haven't heard his name mentioned in any circles in the organization. But similar to Nelson Cruz, who you really didn't hear too much about with the Orioles, if something falls into their lap, would they listen? Absolutely. They do have money to spend. Not re-signing Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis makes it possible for them to make moves in spring training and, you know, before camp breaks and things like that. But they have six starters right now for five spots. And while James Shields would certainly be an upgrade, I just don't see them getting heavily involved in what happens with him. Now, could that change? Absolutely. But right now, I don't see it happening for them. I don't think they're a real premier destination for him, although he would be a good fit. I covered him personally in Tampa in 2008. He's a great clubhouse guy, a guy who really goes out there and eats innings, which is something they've lacked in the past. But they haven't really been a team that's pursued any kind of starting upgrades this winter. I don't see how that changes now.
Are they in a position, you seem to hit on this, whether it's free agency, whether it's a trade, whether it's even a trade at the deadline, is it accurate to say they at least are in a position where they could take on some payroll, whoever it was, if they found a guy they like, that they could add some money to their payroll?
Oh, sure. And Buck and Dan Duquette mentioned it several times this weekend at FanFest. They did not reallocate those resources, really, that they lost with Markakis and Cruz. And they do have a lot of arbitration-eligible players, so that, of course, is going to make that payroll go up no matter what. But they have room to play with, and there are things that they can do. And I think they both know and understand that the teams aren't built solely in the winter. You look at what they did this time a year ago, and no one was too excited, yet they managed to make it to the ALCS. So they know there are moves that can make this team better that haven't been made yet. And like you said, the trade deadline, even the end of spring training. I mean, this is a club that's really in the driver's seat, I think, when you look at in terms of having that payroll flexibility that they have right now. And really, they haven't made any major moves. So if the move is there, if something comes up, they're not really restricted by anything financially.
You had a piece recently on Jonathan Scope, who was a very well-regarded prospect coming up and had a little bit of a tough year at the plate at times last year, but guy they clearly like quite a bit, and kind of addressing him as potentially a interesting breakout candidate. What do you think is reasonable to expect of him in 2015 as a guy entering his second full season?
Well, I think he's learned a lot, and he's a guy who really kind of dedicated himself this winter to slimming down. His speed was a little bit of an issue at times defensively and running the bases. So he hopes to be about 10 pounds lighter than he ended last year to start camp. And when you look at the course of a long season, he admitted he got tired. He hit, I think it was around 155 from September on to the end of the regular season. So he's a guy who fatigued, and it certainly showed up. He gave the club some of their better at-bats against Tanaka and some tough pitchers, but he really struggled through certain parts of the season. And I think as a young player, you often hear about how they're just not ready simply for the 162-game season. I think Jonathan Scope was in that category. I think he'll be better prepared this year. Spring training last year, he was trying to make the team. He was more in mid-season form. I would expect him to kind of keep the reins on a little bit more in camp. This club has seen what he can do. They've seen what he's about. So perhaps, you know, he eases into it a little bit more. But I think he's fully capable of being their everyday guy again. If he can just limit kind of those peaks and valleys that he had last year. There were stretches where it was really tough to put him in the lineup, even when his defense was good, because he simply wasn't giving them good at-bats. I think if he really focuses on making that strike zone a little bit smaller, being more selective, he's got a lot of power. He's a young kid, just turned 23 years old. So if he can really rein that in, he could have some serious potential to be a power hitter in the big leagues.
And then one last thing. It seems that we finally got some resolution, at least for the time being, on this ongoing story of Dan Duquette and the possibility of him going to Toronto. Where is the organization kind of stand and the front office kind of stand now that this apparently at least had some reality to it, but he's sticking around and it seems to be over, again, at least for now?
Yeah, you kind of hit on it, at least for now. It's interesting because does this problem go away or is it delayed a year because the Blue Jays announced that CEO Paul Beeston is staying for the 2015 season? Now, when Dan Duquette was asked this weekend whether this was gone for good, he sidestepped the question. So, of course, you start to wonder, is this really gone away? Probably not. Now, in terms of this year, how much of a disruption was it and whatnot? I don't think a whole lot. There obviously was truth to it. Dan Duquette admitted finally this weekend that there was truth to it and kept reiterating that the Orioles have been in focus this winter. And I do believe that mostly because when you look at offseason's past, he's never been a guy who's made all these flashy moves. So fans saying that the Orioles haven't done anything because Dan Duquette wasn't fully concentrated, you're just really not doing your homework and looking at what he's done and the kind of moves he's made since he got here. So this club will continue to make those, you know, smaller moves, those low-risk moves, the under-the-radar type of signings. And I do believe that Dan Duquette is focused on the Orioles, at least for this season. but it's certainly something to keep on the back burner and keep an eye on because, like I said, once 2015 ends, do we deal with this whole thing again? There was flat fire to it before. I imagine there will be again, especially when you look at what's going to happen to Beeston after the 2015 season.
All right. Well, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.